I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government. This is highly promoted by the right-wing
conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, January 23rd, 2024 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride, to be sure. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all Road Warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be. While we still have Road and Warrior left in us, but warrior is different, means different things to different people. We will be talking about war this year because we're at war, and most people don't realize, what's happening. I think it is first and foremost a spiritual battle. I haven't been bashful or shy about that. So, in that fashion, I have been thinking, and I have done it on rare occasions, but I think I will open with prayer. Maybe I'll continue to do this. I think I'll do it today, though. And so let us begin first prayerfully, shall we? In the Christian sense, in the biblical sense. Quickly, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts or our trespasses as we forgive our debtors or our trespassers. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Lord, please help us to put on the full armor of God. Help us to gird our loins about with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Help us to take up the shield of faith, put on the helmet of salvation, take up the sword of the Spirit, and help us to pray at all times in the Spirit. Please reveal our hypocrisy and double-mindedness to us. And I pray that unrepentant evildoers be brought swiftly to justice. I pray that wickedness be brought swiftly to an end and righteousness be restored in the land. Father, you tell us in your word that if your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and seek your face, will turn from their wicked ways and seek your face and pray, you will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. And I believe that the land is crying out in Hosea chapter 4 sort of fashion for similar reasons. You say that your people perish for lack of knowledge, but it's a specific kind of knowledge that is referenced in Hosea chapter 4. And that is the knowledge of God. You say that because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land, there is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. And I just pray that that would be rebuked. Wickedness would be brought swiftly to an end. Righteousness be restored in the land. You would be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So, interesting times. Interesting times. A lot of strange stuff going on. Things that don't make sense. And it reminds me of Milton Mayer's They Thought They Were Free. Adrift. I call it the curling release, metaphorically. Things just keep drifting away. Don't they? Seems like things just keep drifting further and further away. And we are governed by emergency. I've mentioned it from time to time. They thought they were free. Sermons 1933-45 by Milton Mayer. Let's not forget that, you know, Ivy Lee was the PR guy. Bernays was also in view, idolized. And Ivy Lee was sent by Rockefeller, Standard Oil, IG Farben to interview Hitler and friends to make sure they had the moxie to be, you know, the arch supervillain of the time. Anyway, from Milton Mayer's They Thought They Were Free, the Germans, 1933-45, what no one seemed to notice, said a colleague of mine, a philologist, was the ever-widening gap after 1933 between the government and the people. Just think how very wide this gap was to begin with here in Germany, and it became always wider. You know, it doesn't make people close to their government to be told that this is a people's government, a true democracy, or to be enrolled in civilian defense, or even to vote. All this has little, really nothing, to do with knowing one is governing. What happened here was the gradual habituation of the people, little by little, to being governed by surprise, to receiving decisions deliberated in secret, to believing that the situation was so complicated that the government had to act on information which the people could not understand, or so dangerous that even if the people could not understand it, it could not be released because of national security. Wasn't that what happened recently with Seth Rich? We had the secret deliberations, or not so secret, last week. That's interesting. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. But didn't the FBI double down and say, we don't want to release the Seth Rich stuff for 66 years, JFK style or whatever? So dangerous that even if the people could not understand it, it could not be released because of national security. And in their sense of identification with Hitler, their trust in him made it easier to widen this gap and reassured those who would otherwise have worried about it. And there you may superimpose one particular name, one person in particular. It's astonishing how people forget It's astonishing how we just conveniently, you know, check out mentally, I guess, in some sense. Who was it that wrote the piece recently? Oh, gosh, what is it titled? Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. Who just wrote that piece? I think it's, what's his name? Yeah. Numerous connections between Donald Trump to Jeffrey Epstein. I mentioned that. And then there's part two is Katie Johnson to 1994 by John Brisson, the series. And, you know, so there's that. There's all of the things that sort of go along with that. But, you know, we're going to ignore that. And one of the reasons that I mentioned Vivek and RFK Jr. initially was because, you know, you don't have these kinds of issues. And I think what's happening is that America, by and large, is being persuaded, influenced, persuaded, encouraged, nudged, coerced to support criminality, essentially, in what Donald Trump and Joe Biden represent. A bifurcated, reductio kind of scenario. And in turn, you know, it's kind of the Lucifer effect. How good people turn evil. This is how. You can be influenced and persuaded to condone evil, essentially. Well, then there you go. It's kind of like the old cliche, you know, we've established that things are for sale. Now it's just a matter of arguing over price. We've established that conscience and scruples are for sale. Now it's just a matter of price. Negotiations. Interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. So before we get going, before we start rolling downhill, announcements. We have the quilt raffle going on. I want to talk about war this year in a different sort of fashion. There, war is happening, but most people, you know, to borrow from Mike Huckabee on the 2008 presidential campaign trail, that speech that he gave, the Council on Foreign Relations speech at the CSIS. When he said, you know, he gave the most brilliant and concise distillation of Marxism I think I've ever heard. Create havoc in the world. You need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings and poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. There you go. Before the Russian Revolution, the rural peasants who formed the overwhelming bulk of the population weren't sitting around reading Karl Marx. They were illiterate. We could superimpose there, you know, before what's happening here. The general American populace who form the overwhelming bulk of the population aren't sitting around reading Karl Marx or Saul Alinsky or Machiavelli. They're functionally illiterate. And by that I mean able to function, but effectively illiterate. Thinking themselves wise, having no idea. Why is everything backwards and upside down? Why are we seeing this And there's a very esoteric sort of aspect to this. You know, you read the externalization of the hierarchy, and you read about the releasing of the first ray or whatever, the destroyer aspect / first ray. For what purpose? Order of chaos, dear comrades. So to create order out of chaos, you first have to create chaos, don't you? And Machiavelli basically dictates that you should always have some frenemies hanging around to vilify whenever you need. You know, we're hearing that United States forces and military installations, we've seen 151 attacks or something recently overseas. Well, why do we have troops stationed overseas? What could possibly go wrong with that? Who's paying for that? And are we really supposed to believe that Iranian-backed forces? What does that mean exactly? Iranian-backed forces. Didn't Iran recently gain access to another $6 billion in frozen funds, air quote, frozen funds, happy 9/11? I'm sure that won't upset anybody, right? That won't create turmoil. Then there was the grandstanding in Congress, but this was in addition to, what was it, back in 2015, during the Obama administration, it was $150 billion, but the word on the street was they only effectively gained access to, what, $56 billion or something like that, only $56 billion. Where's it coming from? If it's oil revenues, well, you know, make different decisions. Make better choices. We keep hearing about how China wants to destroy us, but you know what? I don't see a ban on Walmart. I don't see sanctions on Walmart. Do you? Funny how that cognitive dissonance will wreak havoc on us. Read James chapter 1. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Are we being encouraged to be unstable? Double-minded, unstable. I pray that God would reveal our hypocrisy and double-mindedness to us. Anyway, these are provocative ironies that are just staring us in the face. And yeah, I said it last week. I'll say it again, and I'll say it probably more and more throughout the year until it hurts, hopefully, maybe. I don't know. That so much of this is voluntary. It's crazy what's happening. Anyway, we have the quilt raffle happening. Still, we went through the second annual John Stabmiller book drive. Congratulations to the winners. Thank you to everyone who supported. The quilt raffle is still in full effect. Donate $250 or more for your chance to win a packaged gift containing a Confederate battle flag quilt, RBN mug, t-shirt, business cards and bumper stickers. Fantastic stuff. Also, monthly donations are greatly appreciated. Anything you can do to help is greatly appreciated. We are, as you heard, there were some bills that had to be paid, and so it's that time. RBN is not the recipient of some Ford Foundation grant. So it is a listener-supported network. If you appreciate the content, please support the network. And those who do, and there are many who do faithfully, thank you for your support. If you haven't, or you haven't recently, please consider supporting the network. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Welcome back. It feels like everything's off the rails. You know, I think a lot these days about Alan Watt warning us over, you know, the last 20 years or so about the crumbling infrastructure and those kinds of things. These things happen at glacial speed, so nobody notices, really. And I don't think we feel the momentum. And you can feel it. You know, I mentioned Henry Kissinger in, what was it? I think one of the guest appearances with Jeremy from Kentucky. And, you know, obviously we lost Kissinger. Not too long ago. But I mentioned him in a specific context, speaking of what is happening across the pond. You know, and there's a lot more to say about that. We'll sort of wait on, but IISS did a tribute to Kissinger. IISS was one of the places, like CSIS, that both Kissinger and Brzezinski were there together, sort of, you know, two sides, two faces of the same coin. Anyway, Heinz Alfred is what they should have done. Henry A. Kissinger, 1923 to 2023. And they featured this, these words that he was known for. And this was the context. This is what I keep sort of reminding people, you know, that Kissinger said, he's quoted and remembered for saying, the center of gravity of world affairs has left the Atlantic and moved to the Pacific and Indian Oceans. What does that mean? But, you know, people who've been paying attention have noticed that shift occurring. And then they have the picture, picture of, you know, Jabba, Henry Kissinger, and Xi Jinping. So what does this mean? And the point in this context is, yeah, Elvis has left the building. We have been stripped and gutted here in America over the last several decades. You know, the World Trade Organization and the put-up job of, you know, opposition, crowdsondemand.com. Even back then, of course, controlled opposition. And, you know, GATT and NAFTA and all of that nonsense all the way up to today. And just normalizing the World Economic Forum getting together and deciding what the plebes will do for the year. Or publicizing, I should say, what the plebes will do. And, you know, people sort of being acclimated to that. What was that quote by Huxley? Something to the effect that, you know, most people don't really care about being ruled. It doesn't bother them too much. Maybe I can find that. But, you know, we tell ourselves pretty little lies and we don't realize it. And that is the painful and cruel irony. Bad guys like Huxley know this and they prey on it. They rely on it. They depend on it. You know, the Huxleyan types. Our predilections are weaponized against us. Our tendencies, our natural tendencies, in ways that we don't recognize or fully comprehend or understand, but it still happens. So I'll dive into the specifics. There are a couple of things that I want to mention specifically that may hopefully be helpful, I guess. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye. Please remember, I still want you, and in case you want. wake up, kiss that good light goodbye.
Welcome back. Extended musical interlude, but you know what? It's Old Blue Eyes, so what are you going to do? So the quote attributed to Huxley, found in the Complete Essays on page 284, the population is not very intelligent, dreads responsibility, and desires nothing better than to be told what to do, provided the rulers do not interfere with its material comforts and its cherished beliefs. This is a shocking revelation for most people. Greater part of the population is not very intelligent, dreads responsibility, and desires nothing better than to be told what to do. And, you know, so how can you say this preys on our latent proclivities in Bernaysian sort of fashion? Well, read the Bible, honestly. You know, read Machiavelli, but first read the Bible. And you can see in Exodus, when Moses comes down off Mount Sinai, it says, this is amazing, let's go talk to God. And they say, you know, we got a party to get to. You talk to us, Moses, lest we perish. They dread responsibility. They dread personal accountability. There are all kinds of accountability groups in America all over the place. You can find them everywhere. But if you read the Bible, you will find that we are not accountable to one another. What? That's shocking. We're not? No, we are called to be subject to one another in a variety of ways and contexts. But we are accountable to one. And that was what was happening, I believe, for example, in Exodus chapter 20, when Moses is saying, guys, let's, you know, this is going to be great. Let's go talk to God. That kind of accountability most people do not want and are not prepared for. We can tell ourselves all the pretty little lies we want, but reality is we're not prepared for it. Moses had been purified in a fashion, you know, in his exile, 40 years, for example. The fuller's soap or the refiner's fire had burned away a lot of that cruftiness. So the reality is that, unfortunately, the uncomfortable reality is that for most of us, Aldous Huxley's observation is accurate. The greater part of the population is not very intelligent, dreads responsibility, and desires nothing better than to be told what to do, provided the rulers do not interfere with its material comforts and its cherished beliefs. Do we still have beer and football on Mondays? Okay. Is it me or is the season getting longer? Wasn't the Super Bowl usually played? It used to be played at the beginning of January, then it was middle of January, then it was end of January. Now it's February. What's happening there? The greater part of the population is not very intelligent, dreads responsibility, and desires nothing better than to be told what to do, provided the rulers do not interfere with its material comforts and its cherished beliefs. It is perfectly happy to let itself be ruled. All the better if you give them outlets to pretend or to feign opposition or whatever, but still not having to maintain any significant level of personal responsibility. It's astonishing the things that we're seeing. Lloyd Austin, proof of life. You know, one of the things I intend to talk about more, I've talked about 5GW a little bit, the attribution problem. I think I would like to play a little excerpt of the interview 307 Project, Chad Wright, former Navy SEAL, and John Lovell, Warrior Poet Society, former Army Ranger, talking. The video is titled, Is There Still Hope for America? With John Lovell. And John Lovell did a magnificent job of explaining something that I don't think people realize, articulating it very, very well. Don't want to talk about politics, don't want to be involved in politics. And he said the problem is politics has gobbled up everything. There is nothing but politics. Politics is all there is. You want to talk about the weather? That used to be the thing, the benign entry point to conversation. Weather has been weaponized. Maybe you're a climate change activist, or maybe you are a weather modification activist. In either case, you know, and isn't it interesting? Ne'er the twain shall meet. COVID, vaccines. Isn't it interesting how everything is just, the wedge is being driven between groups that are being forced to choose sides? No matter what the subject, even the weather, as John Lovell pointed out. But the problem is attribution. How many of us can comprehensively reconcile the attribution problem? From whence does the threat derive? So Lloyd Austin, proof of life. Well, who knows? Maybe there's something more going on there. I don't know. You don't know. But it's a very strange, very peculiar situation, to be sure. I think we do well to get rid of that whole national military establishment. Just undo it. Save ourselves $1 trillion a year. I bet we could find places to spend it. But then the world would be an unsafe place. You would be surprised how much safer it actually would be. How can you say that? I think it's interesting. Speaking of Iranian-backed forces, didn't Iran recently gain access to another $6 billion in frozen funds? There was some congressional grandstanding. Let's not do this. But, you know, will it upset anybody? Not really. For 10 minutes while it's in the 72-hour news cycle, it doesn't upset anybody unless they're instructed to be upset by CNN, Fox News, or Rhodes Scholars like Rachel Maddow. Ohio lawmakers, air quotes, socialists, really, not lawmakers, propose paying parents / children to attend school. Did you hear about that? Aside from the obvious lunacy, who will pay for it? Who will actually pay for it? Who will actually pay to pay the parents and children? Which is, I mean, the real sinister, insidious aspect of that is the long-term indoctrination of the children to believe that the state, the nanny state, will take care of them. That's the real long game, I think. But state representatives Bill Seitz and Danny Isaacson introduced HB 348. So it's co-sponsored. You know, it's an equal opportunity offender. HB 348 would establish a pilot program to increase student attendance and graduation rates through financial incentives. What could possibly go wrong? Isn't the financial incentive that you can, you know, work and feed yourself? If you learn how you learn the three R's, I don't think we need to go so far as the trivium and quadrivium. I've talked about that recently, how Plato and the Masonic contingent think that the trivium and quadrivium are absolutely fantastic. the Neoplatonic education system. Maybe we don't need to go that far. But you probably have known people, I certainly have known people, who said that they only made it through the eighth grade, and my goodness, they were a lot more successful than many, many of us these days. They were humble. They were not self-absorbed. They were not morbidly self-absorbed, neurotically obsessed with whatever. Just balanced people. Soft-spoken, easygoing for the most part. Down to earth. Straightforward. Straight ahead. You know, just getting after it and getting it done every day. Before there were, special forces in the military, there were, you know, there was the World War II generation and their parents. And they just did whatever had to be done. They did whatever it took. There are stories of families, you know, young children by today's standards, but not by, you know, you go back a few generations, listen to John Taylor Gatto, this concept of adolescence in the West is anathema to history. We all know about the anecdotes of, you know, the Native Americans, for example, that, you know, it was a rite of passage for young men to become men. You're a boy, and then you go out on your vision quest or whatever, and you come back a man, or you don't come back at all. Where's he going? He's leaving. He'll return a man, but you know, he's going to be gone for maybe as long as it takes. Who knows? All by himself. So, you know, there was a generation that behaved accordingly. And now, my goodness, you know, speaking of people not minding being ruled, holy cow, Aldous Huxley and friends, you know, greater part of the population is not very intelligent, dreads responsibility, desires nothing better than to be told what to do, provided the rulers do not interfere with its material comforts and its cherished beliefs. It is perfectly happy to let itself be ruled. And, you know, kind of like the guy who, you know, stands behind his friend, let me at him, I'll tear him apart, kind of like that. We're not going to stand for this. And, you know, perfectly happy to play that silly game. It's tragic. If we could confront the reality, maybe we would have a chance of doing something about it, but it's going to take a backbone. You can't challenge certain people on certain things. You know, we're so deeply indoctrinated and don't realize it. Most of us, it's really unfortunate. The Mexican government is suing U.S. arms manufacturers. Are there any of those left, by the way? Because there are military weapons in cartel hands. What's going on there? The Gladio-styled gun walking and grenade walking is apparently alive and well. What is Cheryl Atkinson saying about this, I wonder? Does anyone know? Does anyone care? Well, what can we do? Well, you know, I think Chuck Baldwin is right. Basically, it's up to the Bible-believing folks to do as they are commanded. You know, you might argue that starts with Matthew 7:12. Because Jesus said, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We could start there. I'm pretty sure that most people don't want someone from another state stealing from them to give to their constituents. That's not the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have done unto you. For this is the law and the prophets. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button. Like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say. The dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a creep. Thank you.
Welcome back.
I have the perfect body.
It's so ironic. Maybe I should just read from the complete essays, Aldous Huxley complete essays, published by Ivan R.D. back in 2000. Edited with commentary by Robert S. Baker and James Sexton. The essays are insulting to the plebs, or, you know, as we would be presumed, a population of men and women descended mainly or exclusively from the successful politicians, professional men, and industrialists, from the most highly gifted artists, mathematicians, and men of science, from the most ravishing cabaret actresses and the most efficient female MPs and lady doctors of the preceding generation, would live in a state, so far as I can see, of chronic civil war. Strength of will, determination, obstinacy, and ambition are among the chief ingredients of the socially successful individual. The intellectually gifted are notorious for the ruthless way in which they cultivate their gifts, regardless of what the rest of the world may think or desire. Their children are just as likely to inherit these characteristics from their parents as they are to inherit their intelligence or the shape of their noses. That's an interesting observation there. States function as smoothly as they do because the greater part of the population is not very intelligent. This is the background, you see. States function as smoothly as they do because the greater part of the population is not very intelligent, dreads responsibility, and desires nothing better than to be told what to do, provided the rulers do not interfere with its material comforts and its cherished beliefs. It is perfectly happy to let itself be ruled. The socially efficient and the intellectually gifted are precisely those who are not content to be ruled, but are ambitious either to rule or to live in an antisocial solitude. A state with a population consisting of nothing but these superior people could not hope to last for a year. Sounds like Mencken. The best is ever the enemy of the good. If the eugenicists are in too much of an enthusiastic hurry to improve the race, they will only succeed in destroying it. From Huxley's Proper Studies essay, 1927. That'll do it for the first hour. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.